Welcome to Useful Creator, where full-time professionals become confident, consistent, skillful video creators. In this episode, we have a conversation with Rendell and Melina of Rendellina. What started as a simple husband and wife adventure has grown into one of Trinidad and Tobago's most loved content creator duos. We look into their useful creator journey, how they built trust with their audience, grew to over 300,000 followers across platforms, and stayed true to their values while creating content that helps businesses thrive. In this episode, you'll hear how Rendellina built an authentic husband and wife brand that resonates with thousands, why positivity and trust are at the heart of their content, the story behind their viral doubles reviews, and the emotional connection people have with food, lessons on working with businesses, building partnerships, and navigating criticisms, and their future plans beyond food content, production, storytelling, and maybe even a Caribbean action comedy film. Whether you're a content creator, business owner, or just a fan of doubles and good vibes, this interview is packed with inspiration, real talk, and practical tips. Let's make useful content. All right, so let's go. So the first thing I want to acknowledge is that we are in Next Gen Brewing. This is Sapera Street,
yeah,
in San Fernando.
Yeah. Yes,
and they have graciously, Kareem and his team have graciously allowed us to come and record here today, mm-hmm. which we are very and also
Priyanka,
yes,
which we are really happy about because normally we don't. I don't get to do these things on location,
okay, cool.
because it's usually virtual, but you all agree to that, which I am very happy about. In fact, that was your doing.
Mm. Oh, really?
No,
oh.
That was...
Is it us?
Yeah, you did agree to the virtual and we signed up the form. Well, yeah. Me realized that we didn't have a headshot, but yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, the thing I was thinking about when I was thinking about this location is that you were able to get this location very fast.
Oh, well, we know a lot of people that have, like, you know, cafes and that kind of thing, and we've worked with, I guess, dozens of businesses all over Trinidad. So, I mean, if unfortunately we wasn't able to get this location, it had a few I had, but as I told you, we usually frequent a place at a certain point in time, and after we kind of move on to our next place. So this is the place we frequent in these days.
How do you maintain those relationships?
Oh, maintain.
We genuinely like, when we go and we do videos, we genuinely like what they have to offer. And we kind of build relationships. We have conversation every day. We crack jokes with everybody. So I love harassing Kareem.
Yeah, so, Kareem loves harassing me.
Likewise. So, you know, we have that banter and we just kind of upkeep, you know, we have a feel for the different personalities and we just maintain that, yeah.
So what do you all think is the Rendellina brand now, if you were to articulate that?
Wow, that is an interesting question. But no, I mean, I always wanted it to be like a husband and wife experience, you know, it's kind of it. And, but I think now we focus a lot on the people behind the businesses, like, you know, the day-to-day, what they do, difficulties they have, that kind of thing. So if I were to articulate it, is just like how do you articulate that?
Informative documentary. I mean, telling the story behind the business. You're giving people information and insight, personal insight on, you know, the business owners and what they do and, you know, the trials they may have to bring about their product, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I don't regard us based on what other people think, which is influencers. It still is a husband and wife experience for me.
Yeah.
And that's about it.
So what, what does that exactly mean? When do you tell somebody, because this is not the first time I've heard you all say that.
Yeah, I know, right?
You like, you master saying, it's a husband and wife experience. It's like, you master saying that. So what does that mean?
No, well, I mean, we just share videos like, okay, we go to a place and we say, hey, you know, we go as a husband and wife and, you know, we order. Like, you say, you know, we come here, we order a coffee. She might not like the coffee. that I order, but you order something different. So it's like two people go into a place, it's not one person. So
it's generally how we exist day to day, because there's nothing different from Randall and I. It's just maybe certain aspects we don't show on camera. I mean, they got a little insight. It was a fake argument, but people got to see that side, and we don't show like things too personal or comical or whatever, but we may transition into that because I could be a class clown already. So yeah.
So let's talk a little bit, because I know that you've been doing this for a while now. I think it's like 2017 or thereabouts, 16, 17.
Yeah, around that time.
Right, and within the last, since the end of 2023, I think you'll have grown on all platforms around 100,000 or so. So it's like 300,000 plus now across platforms?
Yeah, but we're not, I mean, we're pretty close to, I think, 100,000 like on Instagram and stuff. But if you check up everything, yeah, it's like over 300,000.
So having an audience of that size is a massive responsibility.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so my thing is that, what are some of these specific things that you all have done to like gain the trust of people that so many people come and follow and continue following?
One thing we try to do is, you know, keep positivity in the content, you know, and I mean, not to say that, okay, well, people wouldn't, because it's have a trend now, apparently. If you go to a place and you do a review and it be negative, it'll be like, oh, hey, that's a real review, you know, right, kind of way. Right. But I do believe that the positivity shines through. We do try to focus on the positive wherever we go.
Yeah.
And if it's something like overly negative, we wouldn't really put it out. Or, you know, we might mention something like, it is have certain things that might be too bad. Like at that time, I think I had a double somewhere and I didn't say it was hard. It was stiff or something like that. And I think that's like the worst thing I ever say about anything, to be honest. Mm-hmm. But we really try to keep the content positive, and we just try to be ourselves on camera. You know, I mean, we are very private people, so we're not going to show everything. But, you know, in terms of us going to our location, talking to the people, just be authentic, you know, because, I mean, when we started, wasn't really thinking about, oh, well, you know, okay, well, we had to grow this following and we had to maintain it and the people had to trust me. Mm. It wasn't none of that. Mm-hmm. When I see it start to rise and think, I was like, okay, well, you know, this kind of way. And it's just trying to be normal.
Yeah. I think the way we get people to trust, well, this is just me on a personal level. My morals and values dictate how I present myself. So it's never manipulation. Thing is the fear of God, and that translates into everything else in my life. So that's just me. Like, what you see is what you get. I'm not putting on a... Because a lot of people, they come up to me and it's like, you're exactly like you're on camera. Mm-hmm. And I'm not putting on anything or a voice or... You know, a persona just up here on camera. This is just me. So guys, take me as I am.
Do many people know you're from South, or they think you're from other places?
They assume we're from Diego Martin, Westmoreland. But we have mentioned it before, I guess, in the earlier years, or when persons were trying to make drama with our page on the internet. We didn't mention like a few facts about ourselves.
Right.
So we have mentioned that we're from South, but a lot of people don't think that, I guess, our quality of production or what we do is generally from South.
Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's not really prominent. And,
which is strange, but I mean, you know, and we've gotten a lot of, I guess, a different kind of, for a lack of a better word, fame from TikTok. Right. So a lot of people will see us on TikTok, well, see the videos on TikTok and recognize us in person. And it'll be like, hey, you're the doubles man. And they'll be like, hey, so wait now, what are you doing in South? And I was like, well, I'm from South.
Yeah, you reached down, boy.
Yeah, you reached down. I was like, well, I'm from South. I live here all my life. I was like, you serious? Okay, all right. Good things in South. You know, it's kind of, it's be kind of strange, but.
It's interesting because I would think that. Well, first of all, doubles man is wild, right? Because you review a lot of doubles, I have to say, right?
Yeah.
You review a lot of doubles.
Yeah. And you know that it's so funny because when I started that series, when I realized the power of TikTok and the short videos and stuff like that, because when we started, we were doing like we were doing videos for Facebook. So we was doing like 3-minute videos.
Right.
Right. And I was also posting it on YouTube and that kind of thing. But the what I realized with TikTok is you could do a video 30 seconds and it have the same impact of the 3-minute video. So I started the double series because it have so much doubles, man. Right. Yes. So instead of me going with my 2 camera and my mic and all this sort of thing to just like interview our doubles, man. It was a lot of work for me and it was getting kind of expensive. So I was like, you know what? Let me invest in a phone and I'll just whip it out and taste this doubles and rate it and it'll get the same impact. I don't have to like put up so much work to do the video now.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Just out of curiosity, I know.
You just have a look on your face, it's scared me.
I
I'm a doubles fan.
Okay, cool.
And because I was looking at the reviews you've been doing, I was wondering, because you get a wide range of of doubles. And I'm wondering whether or not I know there was one time when you did the whole review for the doubles, but you dipping in the...
any pepper sauce.
And that was a thing.
Oh, yeah.
I'm on doubles.
And then the guy basically got good stuff out of it, right?
Yeah. That whole thing was like an experiment for TikTok as well.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, could I make a video where I'm not talking about the food and it's just like, okay, what's something a doubles man does do?
Yeah.
And we know the guy because he was selling.
His dad used to sell in front of our secondary school, so.
Yeah, we know him a long time, so it's like, He was like, hey, I had this thing I wanted to try. I was like, wait, what's that? It's like a diamond. I was like, what's that diamond? And he showed me, and I was like, whoa, okay, I think I have an idea. And I was like, you know, I just come to order a normal doubles and I ask for slights, and he just like dip it in, you know, just to show how wicked doubles man is.
Right.
And that video, I think I reposted it like twice. I did like different versions, and it just keep on, it elevated to a point where people kind of just believe that, hey, Joandas is the man for doubles and salt. I think they brought in Mark Wins as well.
Yeah.
You know, this kind of way. So I was like, hey, I'm real happy for you, you know, because it's like, it was all an experiment, but, you know, it was ultimately like to help him.
Right.
Sometimes I wonder why people have such an emotional response to doubles. I don't know what. Like, where's the qualms about it?
Yep.
We don't want sweet sauce. We don't want cucumber.
Yeah, we discovered that early.
Have you met a Trini yet?
we didn't.
So that's why we also have a double series, because we're able to stir the pot, able to cause our emotional response. It's going to hit every time. It doesn't matter because somebody's going to like what you post.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
People have strong feelings about doubles, huh?
Yeah, no, and I didn't know because when we did videos, she used to do meat doubles.
Right.
And at the time, I think she had like 10 different types of meat.
Right.
And when we posted that...
close to Christmas, she had wild meat as well.
Yeah, when we posted that, like, the comments was divided and everybody was like, this is crap, sacrilege, you know, this kind of thing. And on the other side was like, oh, I'll try it, and you know, this kind of thing. So it's, we really saw that division, and I think that's when it started, like the whole double thing now for us.
I like the fact that you all discovered this thing, realized it was something that was worth going deep into, and you all doubled down, no pun intended, on it. Did you think about it that way at the time, that this is a good way to drive engagement and to grow a following, or did you just want to just do more of the same because it seemed like a good idea?
I think sometimes with Randall, once he finds that something works, he will want to repeat the same thing. If he have a good day and he had a good drink and he lined with this person, he want the same thing every day. So
yeah, that's why we're here.
He has that tendency. So I think once he saw the responses for doubles and roti, he kept doing it.
Yeah.
But it's also because there's so many doubles people and he wants to help people. He just made it like a short format series and it's solely him. You may see me in a double series, but hardly likely.
Yeah.
Because I also had a roti series as well at $10. Well, I'm looking for a cheap roti.
All right.
Kind of thing.
In South, we know that's Piper Roti. But
yeah.
They can't see that everywhere. They'll be like, why are you insulting my roti?
Yeah. But the other day, I went to a few places and I was like, oh, I have any paper roti. And they watched me strange. I think I went to like two places and they didn't have any. So I wasn't able to continue. But I started back, you know.
So what is the politically correct meme for a paper roti then?
No, you call everyone.
I know. That's all we know it as, but you know.
Anything. I see paper roti. I see eyebrow raise up. You never eat a paper roti. Huh?
No, of course, I eat lots of paper roti.
Oh, okay.
Right.
I mean, I was born in the 80s, technically.
Ooh. Oh, whoa.
You got to fabricate the age there?
No, no, no. I was thinking I grew up in the 90s.
Right.
Technically in the 80s. That's the edge.
Yeah.
So I used to be around when rotis was a dollar.
And what part of Trinidad is that?
Me?
Yeah.
I'm from Belmont, so that's Port of Spain.
Okay, okay.
Yeah. I live in the East now because my wife plucked me from...
Yes, people are West
and brought me to the East. Wisely so, right? The other way is like a... Talking about wives.
Right.
So you and I have something in common.
Okay.
So each of our wives are responsible for getting a camera in our hands. Right?
Yeah.
So your wife, my wife, your wife bought you a camera.
Right.
My wife gave me permission to buy a camera. Right?
Yeah.
And so I have a question for you, Melina.
Right.
When you bought that camera for Rendell, did you think it would expand into what you are or where you are right now?
I mean, I saw him, Rendell, when he has an interest in something, he will go on and on about it. So I felt like it would have gone somewhere, but not really sure in this direction, especially social media, because we had no clue about influencing or anything like that. We were just showcasing our day-to-day as boyfriend and girlfriend at the time, and now husband and wife. But I took a chance on him. I mean, at the time, he wasn't working, so to run that kind of money on a if, right. You know? Yeah.
But I mean, I do appreciate it.
But
I think I was really talking about it a lot at the time.
Yeah, and he had those, the Sony Pixel or something.
Digital cameras, cyber shots.
So that's what he used to use to make home videos.
Right. That is one to keep on.
Yeah, well, I mean,
build your man, and that's Bobby Builder.
Yeah, my wife, we were married just a few months. We had just like $5,000 left. That's the only money we had to our name, man.
Mm.
I was like, girl, this thing will work.
Right.
Rest is history, right?
Okay, nice.
Right.
Well, at least you had the vision. I didn't really have a vision for any of it. I just, it was a feeling.
Right.
I was like, I need to do something with this.
Yeah.
You know? But I do have a lot of respect for the men who have the vision and also have a plan behind it, because I never really had a plan.
Mm.
I was just like, hey, okay. I think I'm the kind of person when I do something and it's just throw everything into it and just run it down. Until, you know, it works, that kind of thing.
Real trial and error.
Yeah.
Reminds me of when Rendell. So it's funny, like what we do now, before we started with pictures, when we just started, it was more pictures than video. And Rendell every Sunday used to make like a post. So he used to be making a lot of madness and random ingredients. So it's so funny that he would say like, throw random things until it works. It reminds me of his cooking as well. But on a Sunday. Yeah, you see?
Yeah.
That actually tastes good though.
Yeah.
You should try it.
Yeah, until it works, right? It works.
Yeah.
So I have to say, of course, so this is what? This is 9 years, right?
9 years of marriage.
Yeah.
8 years of, I guess, blogging.
Blogging.
Yeah.
So from the very start, y'all were.
Yeah, just a year after we got married, we kind of dove into it.
So, so there are not many husband and wife content creator teams. Yeah, you're one of the few. In fact, I can't think of... do you know any others?
Yes, Checkting, that's Rachel and Christian. They would have been... what was their name before Checkting?
Checklist or something, I think it was...
Yeah, but Checkting, and then there's By Felicia, which is a new content creator with her husband. I think it's Eric is his name.
And this guy, Anil.
Anil and Kenita.
Yeah. Right.
But they,
right.
But they come out from the whole TikTok thing now after the pandemic.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of weird, so.
Yeah, I think that's the creators I know. I don't know if you know anybody else.
I mean...
Or her, the camera wife and...
Right, but no, they don't really do that.
Yeah, they do content, yeah. They are photographers, I think.
And I mean Brent married, but...
Oh, and Johnny and Chrissy, yeah.
Yeah.
So there are a few. Do you think like being a husband and wife team actually creating content together makes you better at doing it?
Sometimes feel like, you know, hey, I'm, you know, my ride or die, it working, you know, I could double up, I could do things, but some days it's be like, oh God, you understand the idea? No, I don't understand this, and you know, they're really moving forward.
I think Randall believes that I could read his mind. I don't feel like we in that position as a married couple. Like he would start a conversation, and I said, and then you just come in with a random sentence. I was like, Randall, you didn't tell me anything, you know. He's like, yeah, I was talking in my head, you know.
No, but sometimes she is here, man. Sometimes she is here. Not to what, but you know, sometimes there's.
I get right now.
But no, I think I don't think we better than any kind of any creator or any person who's single or that kind of thing. I think it's just have fun doing it with somebody. That is all. I think maybe I have it more fun than the average single guy.
I don't think not a lot of people could work with their spouse though, like. Yeah. Intimately like this, because there's blurred lines, there's no professionalism, and well, I mean, some people could, you know, separate the two, but the emotional part does kind of get in between sometimes.
That's real. That's like real, right? And I would think that over the years you all probably would have had times where you probably didn't see eye to eye on particular pieces of content. So we talked about external trust, like trust with the audience. How has internal trust impacted the way you create?
I've seen Randall prove himself in terms of what he does and what ideas he thinks that would work, and it's been successful, so I trust in him. There's just certain elements like I would contribute to, because I don't only look at it as a creator, somebody who's able to create content, but also as a consumer, because the life that I had before was working in corporate, working in stores, and you kind of have an idea of what people look for. Like every business place I go to, I always kind of train an idea for free. So I trust in his vision. I just kind of do a little tweaking on correction, basically. Yeah.
Crack the whip a little bit.
Yeah.
Any piece of content that we create that has to be published, she looks at it before
goes up. Doing all the vetting and
QC.
Sometimes spell check with Azrael necessary, and they will type so fast and it's any randomness. So go on the internet and he's like, I'll correct it after. But when you edit the post after you publish it, it's interfere with the views. So either wait. Seeing bad spelling or bad punctuation, I just drive my upper wall. But what are you gonna do?
But yeah, and I think years ago, like, I mean, I told Melina I'll never put out anything to make you look bad. So I think it always have that trust. It's like I watching you talk about you know, the process and thing, and you're making me want to cry. You know?
Oh,
that's so nice.
I am an observant person.
That's so nice. That's so nice. Yeah.
Let me move you away from the emotion a little bit. let's talk a bit about some of the things that you all have done in terms of helping people with content. And I know part of what you all do is you all work with companies or corporate people to do content strategy. Is that
We do social media management. A lot of people don't know that because they focus mainly on the blog. But just the services that we offer in the blog, we basically show you how you can do it for yourself, and you don't need an influencer or a content creator to be in the foreground, well, of anything that is shown on your business pages. It could be you. And we see that trending right now. Well, we always like to use Rennie from Sovete as an example.
Yes.
Of, you know, how she brings in her day-to-day and how successful she is. And people, she recognizes her hard work and people love her product, and anybody else could do that too.
Yeah. And we've been telling people that for years because that is where naturally going. Nobody know. I mean, and that is why when we started more, well, I mean, we always used to focus on the person behind the business, but we'd always tell their story. And the best person to tell your story is yourself. You know, this kind of way, you can't expect somebody to come in and tell a better story than you. You know, this kind of way. So behind the scenes, in terms of us helping companies and stuff like that, we have always told companies that, hey, okay, we could run your social media. We could do it between like 6 months and a year and that kind of thing. But ultimately, you have to be able to do this yourself.
Yeah.
Because you know your business running, you know, instead of having to call me to come and take a photo, you right there, you could take the photo.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Yeah. So sometimes we do some sort of quality control. We make recommendations how to tweak your menus and that kind of thing, how we find, you know, you could maybe shift your decor, your customer service. We give them all the different feedback that we may not have mentioned in our blog, but things that we look at, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
What's the most challenging part of dealing with corporate clients?
I think, unfortunately, sometimes when it comes to corporate, they have a lot of, hierarchy, right?
Yeah, and red tape.
Yeah. Right, and a lot of red tape that I had to go through, right? Like how we was talking just now. Melina is the one who does vet everything, right?
Yeah.
I created, she vetted.
The system is just here, him and I.
Right.
So, whereas if you go in an agency, maybe it has to go through 10 hands and 3 people have to vet and approve and, you know, they want revisions and that kind of thing. We do everything and we realize how people waste time.
Yeah.
In the corporate setting, they waste a lot of time and people's time. And sometimes they have a vision in terms of how they want things posted or which platform who posts first and whatever, and it doesn't work for them. You came to a content creator for a reason because you don't know how to do it.
Yeah,
essentially.
Like one of well, it's not a regret, but one of a big company we worked with had an amazing idea, perfect. It started a trend, all kind of thing, and we gave them the video, and there was like they didn't like the video. I don't know why they didn't like the video.
No, they rejected it because right. they said it doesn't align with their brand, but.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't something.
It was perfect.
First of all, they didn't have any guidelines in terms of what you're not allowed to do.
So they didn't share that with you beforehand?
No.
Okay.
There's no, what do you call it?
Brief?
Brand identity and.
Oh.
Yeah, all those different things. Yeah, no brief. So something like that, we based on what we do, we are still a family oriented brand and we're still able to, you know, have things in such a manner where it may stir the pot, but it's not really controversial.
Right.
And they still rejected the video anyway.
Yeah, they reject the video, but we posted it anyway and it did amazing.
Right.
Yeah, it started a whole piece of madness.
Oh, you see, two of us was thinking about two different items of content, but I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I'm talking about the roti.
Yeah, no, I know. Well, I was talking about the that's okay when you pelt me, but when
Lord.
I pelt you.
Lord. Oh, that's okay. Yeah.
But yeah, so that video would have been rejected by an international brand at the point in time.
Yeah.
And it was roti cafe we featured.
Okay.
And yeah.
All right, no, you're right. You will never know the brand, right?
Yeah, so that went viral.
Yeah, that is what started this whole roti thing. And oh, God, it's so expensive and that kind of thing. When we bought it at the
lobster roti, it was $150.
Yeah, it was $150. I think it costed $200 right now.
It is $200,
right? Oh, okay, yeah. I'm waiting for it to reach three. I will go back.
So what do you pay? $200 for a roti?
Yeah.
When that happens and you like you deal with a corporate company and you get pushback and stuff, do you tell yourself, well, whether we do ever do this again?
No, it depends on that particular brand is, I guess they've contacted us multiple times and I feel like work is certain with them, but I mean, it's a lasting brand, so we understand if they have reservations about things, but they also have to understand like the diaspora in which they're marketing to and what would fly and what wouldn't. And I don't think they really had an idea as to, you know, what was relevant and what could have worked at the point in time. So they rejected it for, I guess, lack of knowledge in a way.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I know there are lots of creators who are more, let's say, edgy, more controversial.
What do you mean by edgy?
What I mean by edgy is that they would probably use examples that are popular, but maybe not family friendly.
Right.
And they probably use language that is not family friendly.
Mm-hmm.
But the controversy, or as we say, the bacchanal, tends to get a lot of attention. Do you ever feel pressured to shift at all based on the numbers that you might get?
What, to do bacchanal content?
Any type of content that is not a lot of current in alignment with you.
I thought about it a few times, but it don't make sense. It don't make sense. That's not what we're about. That's not what we're on our normal. I mean, we like to watch it from far and be like, aha. But, you know, we don't want to be inside that. We don't want to be involved.
I do agree with my spirit. Bacchanal, I think all our bacchanal in our real life, but, you know, yeah. I do agree with my spirit.
Like, I think the closest thing we had to that is, like, this guy before... Well, when I started the production company, we did a few videos for Jamel the Entertainer.
Yeah, I saw that, yeah.
Right. And what did happen? Right. At a certain point in time, he got a little bit greedy. So he wasn't paying people how he was supposed to be paying them. On Facebook, he have over 100,000 followers, but no kind of engagement for those numbers.
Yeah.
Right? And I mean, at the time when I was working with him and everything, I was a fan and that kind of thing. And I think ever so often he's go live, right? So he went live and I just jump in and I say, hey, what's he seen, boy? Long time, that's how things. And he just said, go off. He was like, boy, you ain't calling nobody. Mobile calling you, you ain't calling me. You know what I'm saying? He started to get jealous. And I couldn't stop laughing. You know what I'm saying?
Genuine, though, it was just a rile up the audience.
I don't know. But I think just for TikTok, I think I took a screen recording of that live and me laughing at it. And I think I just posted just to see what it would do now. And yeah, that is the only thing I think.
Your talk still or?
Yeah, we know, man, if we see him,
you know, but he just say that night, just be like, hey, everybody make it and me make it, you know, but it just,
it's
you
relative,
know,
though, it's relative,
I guess, you know,
it's relative,
but I mean, I find, you know,
he had so much potential,
yeah, and he was one of the first to do it, and it's like, you know, you just have 100,000 doing nothing, you know, that's so, I find that so.
It's a difficult thing. So, like, I'm thinking, like, do you all feel pressure to continually grow your following?
Not really. You know what I was feeling pressured for? It's at a certain point in time, right? For Instagram, you needed to have a certain amount of followers to share a link, right? I can't remember if it was 10K or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But was it?
Yeah, I think it was 10K.
Yeah, and I remember...
And then it came out, pushing. I think we just passed it, and they came out with verification, like verified accounts. So we were working so hard, and then you come with this verified account where you could pay, what, 20 US a month?
Yeah, some kind of things. And I was like, I worked so hard to like, grow it so I could reach that point, so I could share a link so people could go to the YouTube, and now everybody could do it now. And I was like, what's the point?
You know? Pay to play, right?
Well, yeah.
But we wouldn't pay to play. We don't have a verified account if they genuinely offer it to us, okay, fine.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not going to pay 20 US a month.
Well, how does that make you feel, though? How does that make you feel that you could work so hard, genuinely do the thing,
mm-hmm.
and then someone could just ups and come and pay and get almost the same thing?
Oh.
That's life, and I mean, everybody have different cards that dealt to them. I can't say nothing. I always say everything happens for a reason, and where God positioned me is that's where he wants me at the point.
Yeah, because I mean, at first, you know, you would see, like, all right, the rise of, like, TikTok and how people have, like, you know, over 300,000 followers on that platform. And, you know, even with, you know, the quote-unquote big tree with Junior Lee and Kyle and, you know, these people. Right. Especially Kyle, who's relatively new. You know, it's kind of going to be like, wait, you know, I think I saw him. He posts, like, 10 minutes. In 10 minutes, he done have 5,000 likes already. You understand? And that's just going up. And at first, it used to be like, wait, but there's a lot of engagement. I wish I could get that kind of level in this kind of way. But then I realized that we're in a kind of unique position doing what we're doing. You know what I'm saying? We're like, ever so often when we would do videos and like visit a place like what I was like, Smokey or one of those places, they'd come back and be like, hey, you know, I really happy all you come. We get a lot of business. And, you know, last week I was thinking about closing. I was thinking about closing. And because of all the video, we got and run it for the year, you know, this kind of way. And I just be like, whoa, okay. That's amazing. You know, kind of...
Sometimes the difference, and it doesn't always have to be that numbers make the statement is return on investment is how you transform people's lives. And yeah. we've done it multiple times without even knowing that hey, these people are about to close and we're going to transform their business and they're going to be so grateful, you know, to us, you know.
So there's something called the Keith Lee effect.
Yeah, we heard the Randolina effect.
We actually, it's so funny, like, we used to hear that before Keith Lee, but I guess, you know, it's America.
Yeah, Keith Lee have more prominence now.
So it's like, we understand. But yeah, we used to have
the Randolina effect. We still do have it.
But I realize because it's so saturated now in terms of, like, anybody can make a video.
Yeah.
It's like, it's happened for certain things. It don't happen for every video we ever make.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But at least, you know, it's according to what it is, because I think the last time we had that was
Fireside.
Yeah, the roti guy. And I didn't even expect, I just making a normal video. The guy was so nice, saying the roti tastes good. And we post the video and he was like, boy, what's going on here? So much people, I can't handle it. I was like, you know what I'm saying?
He literally looked like he wanted to cry because we released the video on the Tuesday, right? And he opened the Friday and we went and lined up the Friday.
Right.
Along with everybody, 11 o'clock. Mm-hmm. So he opened like 15 minutes late and we took like 45 minutes to get our order. Wow. So as soon as he opened and he started to realize he had to fire up three big pot again one time because the amount of people, had 30 some people in the line
at the
point in time.
And I think when, I don't know if it was the same day or the other day, he was like, hey, here this, you don't have to pay here and you could come here and you don't have to pay me. Yeah, that's kind of
and that's the gratitude. And some people have, you know, issues with us getting things for free or whatever. We're not requiring that of you. We didn't ask of it. Some people are just so grateful and they have different ways of saying thank you.
Yeah.
So he's like, you don't have to pay here.
Yeah.
Do you think the public is unreasonably critical of food content creators in particular?
I think with the rise of Keith Lee, and like the rise of TikTok and the with people having the ability to like have their own opinion and make their own video, and I guess they see in the back end of it, it kind of changed perspective a little bit now. So like I just always say it started when a certain influencer did a video about a brunch and it was awful. And somebody went and was like, hey, this is awful. And after, people was like, hey, all these people lying, all these reviewers lying. And it just kind of,
They said that it was great and it was awful in the eyes of the general public. And then that kind of stood up the mistress and all the other creators. So it's like a broad brush of everybody, you know, getting the blame of being dishonest or whatever.
But, I mean, at first I used to take it personal, but now I just realize it's just people jumping on a hype train, kind of, in this kind of way. So I don't take it on anymore because, I mean, I know what we do and how we do it. So it's about me anymore.
Some things are warranted, but some things are without knowledge and, you know, perspective and that kind of thing. Like, they don't live this life at all. They don't know what is required. So it's usually speculation, assumptions. And I wish people would educate themselves as much as they can. Like, don't just have the most to say and you don't know.
Yeah,
because, like, all right, making these videos, as you know, expensive, right? Especially, well, how we used to make it before I started to use phones and stuff like that. And thankfully, you know, over the years, a lot of big companies saw that, hey, okay, this is amazing quality. They're doing this. They're not getting no money for it. You know, this kind of way, okay, let me be part of this. And, you know, I will always be thankful to Mobile One and the Roscoe Procom, yeah, team. I'm trying to remember. I just never say that.
Shout out.
But yeah, but shout out to them because they really saw that we were really doing something. And they were paying us with. They was like, hey, okay, call a price. Tell me what the production costs. And anywhere you go, we're paying for everything. And that was amazing. That was a really good, got like, what, 2 years? Yeah.
Yeah, they want to be a part of it.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm very thankful for that because, I mean, it's something I was asking for. I was like, you know, I would love to have nobody I'd love to just go to a place and not have to study about where the money coming from, or you know, I need to invest in this or anything. I just wanted everything to be paid for, and it's like maybe I had like an internal prayer, and it was answered. So you know.
Yeah. Are you actively seeking out other brand partnerships?
We have not. Maybe I don't know if this is because of how we got our first major brand partnership with Mobil. They reached out to us, so I kind of in my own personal way believe that you shouldn't try to insert yourself in places that they should reach out to you instead of we reaching out to us, because the negotiations is be kind of sketchy when you reach out to them. It's rather that, yeah, I'd rather they be interested in me than I show some sort of interest. It doesn't really work out.
Yeah, but I mean, ever so often, like if I see a video, like, trying to remember, you know, but I didn't reach out to them yet. Like I see like Maggie doing stuff and, you know, good production and stuff like that, but they're not reaching nowhere, especially online. Yeah. So, you know, ever so often, like I might see a brand and be like, I'll message them, be like, hey, you know, I'm interested in doing like some kind of recipe video or some kind of, you know, something like that, just to, because I just look at them and just be like, this could be better, you know, this kind of, right? That is it, really. Right. Should reach out to Maggie, though. I feel like I will do that.
Who knows? Maggie might hear this and...
Maggie.
But I think sometimes companies have an idea about you and they don't. They're not interested in knowing more, and that kind of stunts your ability to express yourself with them, and it kind of makes the content...
It takes away the spirit of the content.
Yeah. Because as far as the majority of Trinidad knows, we are influencers and that's all. Not videographers by trade.
Yeah. That's a hard thing, I think. Like having someone have this perception of you.
Yeah.
And there's almost nothing you can do to change it.
Yeah. Because, I mean, for a long time, I wanted to be perceived as a professional. In this kind of way, but I wasn't really. Melina, I don't like that word.
Yeah, every conversation we have with somebody is like, yes, use professional equipment. I was like, Randall, please, if you are something, you don't need to announce yourself.
Oh, yeah.
I always tell him that. So you need to stop trying the word professional.
Yeah, so I stop using the word.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I guess that is just something I wanted personally. I wasn't really putting out content for that.
Yeah.
But, you know, I guess... It's a real funny thing, like how people see you on the internet now. They see one dimension, which is very strange because we are not what we are. There are plenty of things I bet you're interested in other than doing videos and talking to people and podcasts, you know, this kind of way. But whatever they see, that is what they believe, and that is it. You know, this kind of way. So,
yeah, they take like the lowest hanging fruit of you.
Yeah.
And they put you in a box.
Yeah. So, I see doubles, man, now.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So, so it's easy to do that. And I think it's a difficult thing for a full human being with all of these different hopes, dreams, desires.
Yeah, we multi-layered, you know.
Multi-layered for somebody to say, hey, look, Randalina and them.
And them.
You know?
Or Randalina and Shiman.
Yeah.
And
Shiman. You know? Shiman. Is that something that you think you're comfortable with in the long term, like just being seen as this one dimensional?
No, absolutely not.
Yeah. Because I mean, I have been, even before all these podcasts, well, not before yours, I don't think so, but before I saw you did like an interview with the I'm trying to remember his name, he running on Daigo Talk.
Kendall Ladner.
Yeah, before he started his podcast, before anybody really started to do video podcasts, I was thinking about doing that, but I don't know how to package it. I don't know how to, you know, this kind of way. It's like, what are we going to do, talk about doubles or talk about real issues, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I get in very close to the concept, so whenever I'm ready, it'll come out. But, you know, I think that is for us to not be seen as just, you know, the food people, that kind of thing. And I mean, you know, we're not thinking about, like, you know, doing this forever. We're not going to be old people doing this. You know, this kind of way. So,
oh, that's interesting. So what are the plans? If not continuing to do this, what are the plans? What's the, well, you might not have solid plans, but
no.
Aspirations, what are the thoughts? Where do you want this to go?
No, well, in terms of the production company, like, you know, I want to, you know, do more productions and that kind of thing, more behind the scenes kind of thing.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, essentially, that's what paying the bills these days. A lot of behind the scenes, us not being on camera, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, you know, if it could go
more photography and
yeah, if it could go more in that direction.
Yeah, but I think we'll go back into weddings and
yeah. Oh my God,
funerals.
I don't know. Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah. Since I have a lot of respect for people, and they make it look easy to this shout out to this guy, the Lord.
Leon?
No, Ois. Ois from Digital. Then,
oh, yeah,
yeah, he is the
whole lot, right?
Yeah. I don't even want to. Go.
Maybe that's his heritage. Yeah,
no, yeah,
he's some African roots. Yeah,
yeah. No, I think he's African or something.
Yes, sort of African.
Yeah, I never like sit around and talk to him, but no, I told him because we at the time we were into weddings and we used to work with a photographer. Shout out to Jason Samaru Photography.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, we saw he started and he started from scratch. It wasn't looking good at the start, but he worked on it and he did a video. And I was like, oh my God, this is so amazing. And when I saw him sometime, I was like, bro, I know the work you're putting. This is amazing. Keep up the good job. This is keep it up. Yeah. You know, this kind of way. So I have a lot of respect.
A lot of work.
Yeah, I have a lot of respect for him and where he reached and what he do on that car.
It's funny, Randall really like editing, but somehow he gets too emotional for weddings and you, the deliverables is like,
yeah, yeah.
It'd be like, editing and like,
Yeah. And I couldn't like, I don't know, but it was a problem.
Randall do a video for social media within 3 to 6 hours sometimes, but people wedding, oh gosh.
Yeah. Stick forever.
Yeah, that was
so let's go back to some of the things, the plans you all have, right?
Mm-hmm.
Part of the reason we're sitting here today is because we, and I probably should have led with this story, we know each other from social media a little bit.
Right, yeah.
Bounced up in TIC,
mm-hmm.
right? And Randall said the magic words, hey, I'll watch your podcast. this is your podcast, that's all I need to know, right? friends forever, right? So,
besties.
So then I said, okay, I'll go and contact you guys, you know, come to the podcast.
Right.
Yeah. In between the time that we exchanged numbers, I began texting Randall.
Mm.
And I texted you and said, I sent a message to you and said, I had my anniversary coming up. Right. And I wanted to go to Freebird restaurant. Right?
Right.
We had done, Relator done some work inside of Freebird.
Okay.
But they only open on weekends and my anniversary was not on a weekend.
Right.
And I was saying, what is the alternative? And so I had this thought, if I could just go to one place and find like a listing of restaurants of this quality and be able to select one that works for me and then go there as an alternative. And I was saying, listen, Randall, how come you all don't have this thing yet? Mm. And then I realized that you all have been building a website for the last 200 years.
Yeah, they didn't get me started on that.
So, persons who build a website is almost like construction workers. They will start to work and hang it up. So that's the issue we've been having with websites. You know, they would start something, give you all the hopes and dreams and what you want and thing. But I mean, I can't just put the blame totally on them because Randall is somebody that thrives in chaos. When it's time to do your part, you need to be organized.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't find things on the home PC, right? He'll be like, dark bar or something. You name a file very weird. So you can't find nothing.
Yeah.
So even if me, who is more the, you know, constructive person and organize a lot of things, I can't find nothing. I can't even help him. Right. So he dig himself in a hole and
But I mean, we have like that idea. We've had ideas like that for years, and I don't know. We just haven't found somebody that like stick with it now. Yeah. You know. Like, same, you know, sell your dreams, that kind of thing, and I just disappear. I don't understand what's about web designers.
Yeah, we had somebody suggest that we do an ebook as well.
Mm-hmm.
And we weren't sure what that entailed. But
it's ebook of what, though?
Just like cataloging restaurants and by the area in Trinidad.
Yeah, a foreign type of restaurant. Asked us to do that.
Mm-hmm.
It was like they would go
through like a guide, right? Like a guide.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, like but it's like electronic kind of thing.
I think, you know, I think that one thing at a time, like, and just kind of bring it to completion. And I understand the struggle a little bit where you are building something that is ongoing. You're building this brand, right?
Yeah.
And you have behind the scenes, you have corporate work, you have all this different stuff you're doing. And then you have this other thing that you need to get completed. But you don't necessarily have the time or the headspace to take and dedicate to this thing. So you adopt an external mind to come in and grab this up. Unfortunately, people generally don't feel the same way about things that you do.
No, no, they don't have the same passions at all. Unless you find somebody that's very similar to your essence, it's not going to work.
You can get it, huh? But you have to pay an extreme amount of money to get that. In which case, they are accountable to the money, really, more than you.
Right.
And so I get that feeling that... I understand that. I can relate with that feeling. No pun intended. So then, if you're having difficulty doing that part, what are the actual things you all want to get done now? What are the things that you feel is next?
The website would have lend itself for like merch and that kind of catalog of things. It also would have had a section where we could showcase our video production side and the things that we have done, companies we've worked with. So you have a more holistic view of who we are and what we do. So I don't know if we don't get that website down, how people, because we have to build platforms on social media separate from Rendellina to be seen as, you know, I guess serious or professional video producers or something like that.
Right.
Yeah. We have to allow people to mind your business.
A little bit, yeah. But I mean, in terms like building your website right now, because I guess we get burned so much. I ain't thinking about it.
Yeah.
Right now. Right now, I kind of just thinking about maintenance. And I kind of in terms of not so much like growing the following, but just like maintaining the quality, you know.
And the trust.
Trust,
because I mean, you know, ever so often, like, it's have these pages on Facebook, especially, that you know, there's always talk about some kind of bacchanal. So, ever so often, it'll be like, yeah, Rendellina is real life.
Every Monday morning, they find a post,
yes, maybe. And okay, you know, because maybe you know, you watch through the post they had before, oh, well, none of the posts reach like over 100 reactions or something like that. But as the
post that... views low and reactions low.
Yeah, so as the post that they get over...
Target a content creator. Target a
influencer. So, yeah.
And it's the persons that kind of real going ham on the platforms that they target. Because when we were posted every day and we were being seen like quite frequently, we were targeted. And then they did it for Leah 868. You know, sometime last year around Christmas.
Yeah, when she started to post more often and get popular for, I guess, or you know, the creator at all.
I think I remember.
Yeah, she eats in a the way how she eats the food, she makes it look very is making one to eat too.
It's not an elegant way of eating, and it's a lot of sweets and. But something about it is enticing. She does it in her car. And no. I mean, some people love it. Most people hate it. Because it's not ladylike at all.
Right.
Different reasons.
Yeah. But we saw that now. Like, whoever more popular just get attacked.
Because I remember a while ago, you all said you didn't have a website, right? Just to go back to that.
Right.
I did Google Rendellina Reviews website.
Right.
And the AI came up and said, Rendellina Reviews does not have a website.
Wow. Okay, cool.
Yeah, we actually had a GoDaddy domain for a year, didn't it did nothing with it, and then that was
Are you actively trying to remove the reviews and just be Rendellina?
Yeah.
Because reviews is a big shot in your foot, like.
Yeah, actually I added when we started it was Rendellina and I added reviews. Because I just didn't want to do food alone. I added the reviews to say, hey, well, we could review anything. You know what I'm saying? But after, I guess, a few years, we got more known for food. And after this negative connotation came with the word reviews now.
I think they associated with how they do reviews in the US.
Yeah.
And, you know, especially like with Michelin star restaurants and that kind of thing. They come anonymous and, you know, they pay their way or they don't get anything for free or whatever the qualms was, they want to, you know, have that implemented in Trinidad. But I don't think that's the way that we do it. Yes.
Yeah, according to check thing, like Trinidad, not really and truly not ready for real
honest feedback.
Yeah, real food critics.
Yes.
And
yeah.
We don't define ourselves as food
as
critics.
As food critics.
Because, like, all right, how to explain? Like, we did a video where, like, Melina is very, very honest with our. That's how she just react to certain foods, right? Oh. So we ate something and Melina was like, I didn't like this and well I don't.
By the way, a lot of these things that I may see on camera doesn't make the cut because Randall find it too crass.
Yeah.
Randall filters me quite a lot.
So. Yeah.
So if you were editing, it'll make it out into the public.
Yeah, it would, but
yeah, because the original thing she said this tastes like it's spoiled.
I don't know how to jazz it up.
Yeah, you see,
spoiled food. Like
yeah, no, right. I couldn't
jazz it up. I couldn't put that.
I was like, well, Melina, you can't see that. So
yeah, a little rough on the edges sometimes, you know.
Be honest about it. It's just the communication part, I guess, is the one that Randall is worried about, maybe.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But I guess Randall know how to get the views and whatever stir the pot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I was saying that, you know, the person, when she said she didn't like it, the person was like, oh, how you could say I don't like it? It's maybe thing or it's maybe a palette or some kind of thing. So.
Or the person in the...
No. I think we released what I had said.
At the time, there was...
No, like, what I had said was too crass. And it was like, find a nicer way to put it. And I said, this is not for me or whatever it is. I don't really like it or something like that. Upon a really, really basic way to say it.
But the lady was saying
what
that...
What lady? Not the owner.
Yeah, she was like, oh, maybe it's your palate, or maybe they don't want to hear, like, real criticism now.
Yeah.
Any business owner, they don't want to hear real criticism. And it was the funny thing, when we post that video, and she said...
One thing that I didn't like, it sold out.
Yeah.
So, people have a thing where they also want to prove you wrong. Yes, they want the real and honest and raw review and whatever, but they also want to prove you wrong. You'd be like, but she palette off because she said it's tasting bad and I find it tasting good. But if I say it tasting good and it tastes bad to you, two could be true at the same time. Why you can't reverse the coin all of a sudden? Because it tastes bad to you, waste your money and I get for free.
I find it's tough just doing that, like
what?
Having to share your personal opinion, because it really is an opinion, because
it's
subjective, right?
Yeah, yeah, and you see, that is why a lot of these, well, I don't even want to say TikTokers, but it's up the rise of these videos doing like reviews, these people doing their review in the Ghana, right? And they just sit down and say, oh, well, I don't like this, or I might like this, or whatever. That is very easy to do, you know. You know, this kind of way.
People usually associate that with a real review or what the commonplace man will do. But because ours look a little more polished, it look like what you might see on TV advertising, that kind of thing. You must be either getting it for free or you're getting paid or, you know, it's not real or it's not honest.
People don't know how honest Melina is. Melina brings a lot of honesty in my life. I used to do like little white lies and that kind of thing. Mm. But Melina brings so much honesty. You know.
All right, so let's bring it for into a landing and coming to the end here.
Okay.
Lighter moments.
All right. So let's have a little more fun. So one of the things I know about you, Randall, is that like the production company.
Mm-hmm.
Look at this face.
Yeah, no, I don't know. Do your research and I'm frightened.
The production company really was because you love this production and
film and
stuff.
Movies and
So if you put chance, if ever in the future you had the opportunity to make a Hollywood level movie, what would be the genre and what would it be about?
I'm reading your mind right now. If you don't say this, you'll disappoint me. But anyway,
well, there's real pressure all of us. But no, I think I would make. I'd make like a action, kind of action comedy, something. Cause I mean, I've done documentaries as much as I'm saying, like I'm striving to make films every day and that kind of thing. I am making films every day. I do documentaries like pretty often. But I'd love to do like a kind of body comedy, a kind of like what is called like a Shanghai. What is it called? It's
Shanghai Nights.
No, it's not Shanghai Nights. What's the one before that?
Rush Hour.
Yeah, like a kind of Rush Hour kind of thing. Sure. Yeah, that kind of thing, but a Caribbean based kind of thing, you know, and it should be set in like the 80s kind of, that kind of feel, you know, it's kind of, yeah, that's what I'm feeling.
Who would start it?
Well, I want to say myself, but no, like any actor or local actors, or where thinking?
Anybody, if you like.
Anybody, that is a really interesting question. I've never thought of that before. No, I think I'd put like two people who have like nothing to do with each other, and I kind of like, I'm a big Jason Statham fan, you know what I'm saying? So I might put that Statham on this upcoming guy who was in F1. You saw F1, the movie?
Damson Idris?
Yeah, I might put them two together. So Idris could be like, I don't know. Well, you know, it's America, so he could have to be Jamaican. You know, it's kind of like, yeah, so. Yes, but remember the accent.
The accent.
So it would be cooler if he's Jamaican.
Right.
And, you know.
They'll end up sounding like the fish from Under the Sea.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
Maybe Sebastian, maybe.
Yeah.
A little moment. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right, or oh, yeah, the lobster, right? It was the lobster. Yeah, and you know, Saturn will just be like, I don't know, somebody visiting from Interpol, and it have this just weird kind of dynamic.
Right.
You know, he could carry him for doubles and joke chicken. I don't know. You know, that kind of thing, now. You know, yeah. And every so often, I just have an idea. Like, I saw some Asian, well, I wouldn't say old, but he looked like he in his 50s, late 50s. Some Asian guy walking around, well dressed. You know, and I was like, bro, I could make a whole assassin movie based on this guy.
It was our wedding. He was in the front.
Was it?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. I just have like a lot of ideas like that. But
I think you ran that walk up to the guy and he was working the wedding and he's like, yeah, I feel like I could put you in a movie, you know. Like, what?
Yeah, I was like,
well, oh my god, oh god, yeah, I didn't
but
even
no, Randall, that. I mean, the answer was kind of giving a little vibe, but I am disappointed because Randall is a Terminator fan.
Oh,
rants about Terminator all the time and how he would rewrite the franchise. And I was like, Randall, why don't talk about this on YouTube? Even if somebody don't get a script from you, it can still be recognized for this idea. And he's just go on and on and on and on. Sometimes my brain is switch off, but, you know. That's something you should invest in. If you have to do something, make your own Terminator.
Okay. Are you familiar with the Terminator franchise?
Yeah. I mean, maybe not as much as you are.
No, it's not. Terminator was one of the first movies I ever bought. Well, I mean, it was a pirated copy.
It's like a DVD, you mean?
Yeah.
It was a pirated. I think I would pay like $50 at the time.
Right. VHS.
No, it was a
CD.
When they announced that I burn DVDs and okay. When I didn't know that, I bought that on SpongeBob, which is, you know, I had a little brother.
You know, we need a little salt and sweet and all that.
I guess that, yeah.
I didn't know you buy SpongeBob, but okay.
Yeah, but I mean, I watch over that Terminator so many times. So it's like, you know, in terms of like,
so that's Terminator 1 or T2?
T2. And well, I watched the first one as well, but I find they should just go back to the roots and just make it back to a horror kind of, you know, and that is it, because they're just trying to like do the same things over and over.
Yeah.
You know, so I really need to stop that and just make Terminator what it is a, what was the line? Is living tissue over a metal skeleton.
Metal skeleton?
No, it's a next word, I can't remember.
Endoskeleton?
Right. Hey, you know the thing, right. Yeah. So, yeah, just make it that, you know, nobody had to save the day, nobody had to kill the Terminator, let the Terminator just terminate. And that is
let it. The Terminator just terminate.
Yeah, no,
so. Or they give Arnold a rest now, give Arnold.
Yeah, and they need to give him a rest.
If they could give Logan a rest, they could give Arnold a rest.
He do his work, he need to.
Yeah, no, right. Relax, yeah. But yeah, I could talk about this for hours, so let me not talk.
All right, so there's a couple of more things. So, so since we're on the topic of making movies and films and so on, so most of the people who may listen to this might be the word that Melina doesn't like so much, professionals. Right, people who have their careers and they're probably looking to create content themselves.
Mm-hmm.
What are the like the top three editing tips you could give to someone who wants to create content for themselves, but they don't know where to start?
Oh, okay. Like, somebody, so like a business owner or somebody who just want to start a new video.
Business owner or somebody who has been in the same job for 10 years and want to share what they know.
Oh, right, right. No, well, I mean, the bar for entry is, well, no, I shouldn't say that because that goes on bad.
Well, because he's more technical, I will give my contribution. Just try and have a tone. When you think about what you want to put out there, have a tone about it, select your song, and then you can go from there. Because the edit is really kind of based on the song sometime, eh? That you choose, like the vibe you want. Yeah. So yeah, you could start from there and then.
Right. But no, in terms of it very easy. A lot of people just overthink it. Even I myself. It's very easy. Everybody have a phone now. So you know your job more than anybody else.
Mm.
So what you need to do is just capture what it is be doing. Okay, I just go for this bar graph feed. Well, if you're taking, I don't know, my mind went on that direction. But yeah, if you're taking care of dogs, sorry, not dogs, chickens, oh, well, I just get up 6 o'clock in the morning and I just go for the bar graph feed. I just feed the chickens. I just had to clean the poop. If it have a dead one, I might have a traitor. This can, just recorded it, just documented it.
Yeah.
It not hard, it not difficult. You just kind of get out of your own head and do it because, you know, you want to do it. Don't just be like, oh, well, you know, but then again, you want
to. No, but what if somebody doesn't want to edit in a chronological order? What if they want to put a little jazz it up a little bit, nana, razzle dazzle. What is your tips for that?
No, well, when it comes to editing, it's like anything. Over time, you'll get better. So the razzle dazzle has come. Sometimes if you start with the razzle dazzle, you miss the whole point.
Mm.
Right.
Especially now when it comes to social media, it's a lot of raw things. It's not so much of a, what I could say?
Flashy.
Yeah, it's not so much flashy, especially for business owners and that kind of thing. I mean, using Renee as an example again, she just documenting what she going through.
Just avoid your edit being a PowerPoint slide. You remember when people used to do those long transitions and dissolve and like
wipes.
Wipes.
And the crossfades.
L cut, J cut, invisible cut, please, most of the time. Fade to white, fade to black, depending on the only. Oh, God. Don't do me that.
Right. It's true, editing has come a long way for real.
Well, yeah. No, but I mean, with when I started, I always wanted my videos to feel like movies, right? And, you know, I don't have a lot of those, you know, crossfades and all this sort of thing. It's just cut.
Yeah.
You understand? So that is how I just always edit all my stuff. I just always cut. That is it, really and truly.
But, you know, I was talking about the weird transitions, but right now they have a edit trending right now with a Kendrick Lamar song, and, you know, yes.
The beats. I used to edit like that, and she keep on telling me, oh, you should do one. But I'm not really feeling to do one right
now. No, but I mean, you do a lot of edits like that, but the only thing, when they're like Dolly Zoom and that kind of thing, well, he's called it push-pull. He doesn't use it.
And pull off.
Yeah, he doesn't do the technical tools, but he's called a push-pull, but it's a Dolly Zoom.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, he likes things like that, like how you split the screen in different ways. So it's kind of like a tacky PowerPoint slide kind of thing, you know, but you kind of polish it a little bit. If you think about that Kendrick Lamar edit, yeah.
Yeah, but again, just to kind of to tell your audience, whoever wants to start, just start. Just start.
You'll get better.
It do make sense thinking about it or how I want it to. Just start. Just start doing it. Because you'll never start. Because it's so funny, I doing content every day for multiple companies and even for our Rendelina as well. And the podcast I want to start, afraid to start it because only thinking about different things and I want to get this mic and I want to get this better. I literally changed like the backsplash. I used to have like a kind of sponge thing. I changed that whole thing and it was just like this trending geometrical kind of shape thing. I do all of that just to say, is that I'm wasting time? You know, it's kind of all I need to do is start, but I haven't. I had this idea for like what 2 years and I ain't started. I just
frills,
you know. Yeah, so just so you know, audience watching, just start whatever you want to do, just start it. Substicking start.
That's great.
Consistency, just like feel out your interface or your program, whatever you set it on.
Yeah.
And you be curious about it. Like, just, okay, don't take somebody wet it and try and edit and feel it out. Take something that you know is, you know, like everyday footage or whatever, and try and make something of it, feel out all the different functions.
Yeah, that's why you're simple. Yeah.
And you don't have to edit on Adobe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it's a CapCut. I find CapCut real nice, but for what it is doing,
I find the functions ridiculous on Premiere Pro. I just,
well,
the keyboard shortcuts on.
Oh, you mean like you could just ram everything in?
Yeah, but do you use what you just use that? It's after.
Okay, the Relate uses Final Cut.
Oh, okay.
Right, we've always been a Apple ecosystem company.
Right.
You can see it evidenced here.
Yeah. Same.
Personally, I use Descript.
Oh.
You know Descript?
Yeah.
Not me. Not
I know Descript, yeah.
Yeah, I've been using that.
Okay, whoa. I'm so sorry. Is that alarm for me to drink water?
Yeah, that's okay.
Every 3 hours.
Hydration is important.
Yeah, then, well, me need one more.
Might as well drink
some water. Yeah, we got the prompt, so let's say drink your water.
Yeah.
Well, y'all can share.
Yeah, normal thing.
A little lipstick never hurt nobody, right?
That's why that's...
Yes, no brand, yeah?
No brand.
We should.
Have all the brand, yeah.
Guys, we are parched. Please sponsor us.
Right now.
Sponsor.
No, well, we have a quote-unquote sponsor. This amazing refreshing drink has been brought to you by...
By Jesus.
No,
say Jesus anything to wine.
No, next gen brewing. Oh my God, Melina.
Sorry.
You could have waited for the post.
What were you saying? You were saying something before we got parched.
What's that? Uh-huh.
Before you threw
it. When it started ringing. I can't even remember.
That's fine.
Okay. Oh, you were talking about I think software. You were talking.
Oh,
about.
Right. Yeah, Descript. Descript.
I saw
Descript because I think you could when it comes to like podcasts and stuff like that, you could type in what you want to be seen on the video and it is edited out. I think is what I saw.
Right. Yeah. So I've been using Descript for the last probably 3.5, maybe 4 years.
Oh wow. Okay.
It's one of the few software that I pay a subscription for.
Wow.
I'm heavily anti-subscription.
Mm-hmm.
You can do that with a Mac ecosystem, though.
Descript is platform agnostic.
Oh, okay.
You know, I used to use Descript before it was what it is now, which is mainly AI. Everything is AI powered, but it's really good now. Right?
Okay.
And like when I edit this podcast, what I will do is I'll pull all the tracks in. I'll put your video, my video, everything together.
Yeah.
And then I'll pull all the audio in. I lay them out on the tracks in a stack and I tell it, switch edit with cameras and it'll go through and it'll make all the cuts. And when you're talking, it will show you. When I'm talking, it will show me and then it will insert the wide shots.
So what? How much I'm on play?
It will edit everything in one shot.
If you don't mind my asking, how much?
I'm not sure. I can check and see.
Okay. That is the editor there? I'm almost a walk there.
Yeah, but that requires you to be organized. You see the setup for this?
Yeah, I could be organized.
You be able to do it?
Yeah, I could be organized.
Oh, it's log me in. Let me.
Oh, but then everybody need their own track.
Yes, audio needs to be synced and whatever, you know? You don't need a clapperboard, but.
Well, it was perfect for me because what happened is that the scripts actually has a. Have you ever heard of Riverside FM?
That's what.
So basically, what Riverside FM is like a podcast recording platform where you come online and it downloads the high quality version of the file to your computer and then uploads it back. So when you get back, the file is not a low quality file like Zoom would do.
Yeah, I think I heard about it.
And you get individual video, individual audio on each person who has been called in the interview. So they bought a company called Squadcast and they integrated it with Descript. So when I was recording podcasts, I used to record in Squadcast. That's what you all would have gotten if we did it online. And it pulls directly into Descript, puts it in the timeline, hit the one button, it does the main edit. I still have to look at it. I still have to edit.
Of course.
But it basically does most of the work.
It's amazing how technology can fire. Like when I was shooting podcasts for a few.
Okay, it's not that bad actually.
Okay.
So this is what it's. So this is what it costs.
Oh yeah, affordable man.
So, you use the business one or the creator one?
I'm probably using creator. I'm not sure.
Yeah, okay, creator. Okay. Look,
maybe
in the middle there.
So
remember, there's the two prices, so you could take the one.
Yeah, most of the time.
But you can start off with the hobbyist one.
Right.
You still get, the only problem is you don't get to export 4K. You know, if you enter 4K.
No, well, everything we do in 4K right now, I think, on YouTube.
Yeah.
Especially.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan because it's not necessary. Most people looking at stuff on their phone.
Yeah, but true. In terms of our stats, like, you would think that, but 80% of our audience on YouTube does look at it on our TV.
Right. So YouTube in particular is an anomaly. People are shifting to smart devices,
mainly
TVs and sometimes tablets to consume YouTube. So they're going to sit down and consume it like if they were consuming a cable channel.
Right.
So
right.
Rendellina essentially is a channel and a list. Consume.
Yeah.
And yes, that's true. And in which case, 4K makes sense. But also 1080p is fine.
Yeah, it is fine. I always wanted to up my quality. I always wanted my videos to look better. But it's so funny, you know, you invest and you spend so much and you know, at the end of the day, people rather see phone footage than, especially for short form, they rather see a phone than, you know, an expensive camera.
Yeah, but the scrambling for storage was ridiculous when we just started 4K.
Yeah, but mine, I really couldn't handle it at the starting. I didn't know what I was doing. I was just pushing forward and I was like banging my head and I was like, I can do this, I can do it. You know, this guy, but you know, I don't know. But you shoot this in 4K, I don't know.
Nah, this is 1080.
Oh, nice. Okay, cool. Like cool. It. Yeah, it's, you really like that.
Lighting on.
Yeah, the lighting will make it.
You
look nice, you know.
Yeah, nice.
All right, so if the people want to find you online, where do you want to send them?
Well, just search Rendellina, we're on all platforms.
Specifically, Rendellina 1 on YouTube.
yeah, somebody pointed that out.
Rendellina? Yeah, why is Rendellina 1?
No, it was like a mobile thing. I was thinking about it at the time. But it's had a wait a while to change it. So I waited to change it.
No, you can change it now. How many weeks has it been?
I don't know. I can't remember.
Is it every 2 weeks?
Yeah, but
2 weeks?
It's like 14 days.
Oh, so yes, okay.
Yeah, well, so put back the underscore, so Rendellina underscore on everything.
So what about the underscore too? Why are you using underscore?
Because we drop, I don't know, ask Randall, Randall.
we removed the reviews because of the negative connotation and I couldn't pick anything other than the underscore.
Yeah, and we didn't purchase a domain or anything.
Is it that Rendellina, somebody else has it?
Oh, yeah, there's a name somewhere. I don't know which country. But if you search Rendellina, well, it's a name for a female person. I don't know. She looked kind of Malaysian.
Yeah, but the original domain, we could have only gotten it with reviews, and we didn't want that. So if we have to do a domain, we'll probably have to modify the name again, which we don't want to do.
Yeah.
Well, not just the domain, or like all the social media and stuff. Anyway, that's a question I wanted to ask, actually. I wanted to ask about, like, what's up with the underscore at the end?
Randall
can answer.
Yeah, it's only because when you remove the reviews, that is all.
So you don't put your hands on social media at all?
Wait, you know,
I do.
Your facial expression is killing me. Like, when you realize something, you're like, you know,
the majority of things when it comes to Rendellina, Randall is in total control. Even the answering of messages. If you do this, some people can't tell us apart, but if I answer a message, it's proper English sentences. Randall's like, this is social media, you can answer how you want, but everything is proper English to me. And he was just like, hey, was he seen on.
Yeah. I see the technical guy.
It's a relaxed guy.
Well, yeah, that too. But no, I think that kind of naturally happened because I always wanted the page to feel a certain way and look a certain way.
Yeah.
So I would have control over that. Malene.
But fun fact, we can mirror each other. So I could speak like him, you could speak like
him. Yeah. She has access to everything. But in terms of like actually posting or changing anything, I just mostly.
I run the other pages. So whatever other social media management we do, I am in control of that.
Yeah.
And keep in touch with all my, you know, the customers now. Keep the relations up and that kind of thing.
Is there any final things you want to say for the people before we go?
No, well, not to the people, but to you. But so did you think that she was running Like the pages and stuff like that?
I didn't know I was supposed to ask.
Oh,
yeah, okay. I was going to ask. I know that there's some separation of duties and responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
And in a husband and wife team, I suspect that people would just lean on their strengths.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know who was stronger. I know for sure that you are the editor extraordinaire and to touch your thing. And
whoa. You know? Yeah, well, I guess, yeah, that's how
you know?
I think maybe that's how I feel about like the whole page. And I kind of because at a certain point in time, I wanted Rendelina, reviews at the time. I wanted it to be, I wanted to look at the episode and I wanted it to feel like a Netflix show.
Yes.
You know, this kind of way. And right before pandemic, right before, the rise of short form content, I was almost there. Mm-hmm. Like we watched, we recently visited them the other day, Barragills. Right, they do doubles in 0.14, right? But the unique thing about them is, which they sell doubles, pies, and pilori, and which any one of the items, you could get meat, right? So you could get a curry goat, you could get a curry chicken, you could get shrimp, they also have wild meat as well, right? And when we did that video, that was in 2023, I believe, not 2023, that is before pandemic. I was 20.
It wasn't before the pandemic, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter when we...
Okay, but yeah, anyway.
Your wife would be like, no, that wasn't when it happened.
Yeah, but no.
No, but he's trying to be specific, and it doesn't help,
But when I did that video, I wanted the video, I wanted to look at the video and be like, hey, I could watch this on Netflix, you know, this kind of way. And I was like, that video is very cool. To what I wanted. You know, it had the typical starting, this guy, with his dining, drives and dives or whatever.
Yeah.
Oh, that's Guy Fieri.
It had that kind of feel. I was like, yeah, Ting, and yeah, we're going to try the Pilori. Yeah. And I had all this kind of different energy. I was like, wow. That's what I always wanted. I always wanted it to feel like this kind of amazing program, you know, this kind of way. But I feel like short form content kind of dilutes everything into this. Like, oh, well, you need a thing and you had to get their attention in 1 second, and I feel like it just cheating the experience.
Oh, so you are a long form preference guy?
Yeah. I loved creating these videos, and you know, you have the starting and the introduction and all these. I loved crafting those videos. Like, we would make videos for Facebook, the 3 minutes. I don't know if you're going over time and whatever, but
Wendell also has a preference for close-up shots. He doesn't do much wides and that kind of thing. Close-up
map. Get inside the food and all this sort of thing. And now it's just like, you know, I literally see a video on TikTok. The man say, I'm not going to curse, but he's like, taste the best and F the rest. A nice food review. And eating something. She know what I'm talking about. because it's just catching your attention. Yeah. You know, this kind of way. And I was like, he ain't saying nothing. You know? That's all he's saying, and he eating the item. And that's it.
Right.
He ain't showing the face, he's showing the item. And that's it. And he's saying that over and over.
That's one way to stand out.
Well, yes, but it cheapens the whole experience.
Well, see, that's the thing, eh? The thing is that people have different goals when it comes to content, right?
Well, I don't know what goal he have. He just put it out for fun. He just said, I have no goal.
Does he have a lot of...
No. He knows that, but his stuff does go viral.
Right.
Right.
So that might be his goal, to go viral. And I guess based on the choices that you... So that's... I wouldn't do that.
No, of course.
Right?
I wouldn't do that either.
Like you mentioned earlier, it would conflict with my values to do that.
Yeah.
But some people will do whatever they want. And I would be like, well, that's good for you, but that's not me.
Yeah.
And that's why I could respect what you all do. Because there are lots of people who would do a lot of different things in order to get what they want.
Yeah.
Somebody with an audience like yours could then flip that and say, let me start doing things like... You know, and there's recently a lot of scams of crypto or different things. Let me start selling people these dreams. Let me, you know, you will leverage the audience in a way that is unethical.
Yeah.
Right? And I wouldn't do that. Based upon what I've seen and I've heard, and yet you all wouldn't do that either. And I respect that.
Yeah.
And so I would say for people who want to do that type of content, That's their business.
Well, yeah.
And let me just share this last thing before I let you all have the last word, right?
Okay, okay.
One of the things that... One of the reasons why I created useful content is because I found there was a lot of terrible content. Terrible in the sense that people focused on the probably the lowest level or the lowest hanging fruit in terms of putting things out there. That's why I was mentioned earlier on the like things like Bacchanal, things like controversy,
right.
Things like shock value, negative things. Negativity in the context of the world tends to sell more than positive things. And this is true statistically if you look at what the news shows and the data comes back. People will lean into negative things. And so I respect the fact that you would say when Melina might be very honest, and she's being honest, that, okay, let's change the angle on this a bit to make it more positive.
Well,
Because you want to insert your positivity into the world in a way that's valuable. And while you could be the negative person and say bad things, you don't always have to make that choice. And it doesn't make you less honest. What it does is that it makes you somebody who you have self-management. Right?
It's easy to say a bad thing.
It allows for growth. It allows for improvement.
It is unfortunate, though, that people, well, I guess whoever is be commenting and whoever, you know, they see negativity as being honest.
Yeah.
I find that so strange, you know.
People need therapy in Trinidad.
They're mutually exclusive. You can be honest and be kind. You can be honest.
It's how you see it.
I genuinely believe it has to do with your morals and values, what grounds you. At the end of the day, I subscribe to Jesus Christ and I'm going to have fruits of the Spirit. And some people can't relate to that.
I have a different value system, which people are allowed to believe what they want. But when you do something, you have a very specific way to do it, and vice versa. When I do something, I have a very specific way. Last word for y'all before we close up.
Creators are much more than the platforms.
You just have one.
No, you have something deep to say. You can go ahead.
I want to thank you for, you know, spending your afternoon with us. I don't know if you show this in the video or anything like that, but this setup is amazing. I mean, it's our two fellas here just, you know, working hard, and there's a lot you put out to create this thing. So I wish you well in all your endeavors, and you know, I hope you go viral in every post you make.
Thank you. And let me just say I appreciate you all taking the time to, right, this is not about me, is about the valuable things you'll have to share. Right, and I appreciate that. And let me tell you, I've asked many people.
Yeah,
I've learned to deal with doing this. Has taught me how to deal with a lot of rejection in terms of people saying nah or ignoring it totally.
Wow,
right.
Yeah, that's happened.
Oh my God,
yeah. Is that familiar territory for men? I mean, that's a whole different podcast.
Oh my God, man.
Sorry.
Yeah, I know. If I have my feelings here, I go and say, Gil, let me sit down and talk.
No, but men say they get rejected 10 times more than women. So,
But I hope you didn't think that I was ignoring him because I was really having
your phone problem. Doing bad.
Yeah.
Dishonest fellow, you're talking about the phone at night.
It's just a cheap phone. Maybe he just didn't get this one thing for free. I like to draw jabs to people sometimes.
And our conversation was just like so weird and so much,
But it's okay. I have learned not to read too much into things because I know that eventually you'll find out what the deal is. And you can't, because there have been times when I thought, oh, this person ignoring me. And then they're like, well, my grandmother died. It's like, oh, shucks.
That happened to us with a food review. A time we tried to go to a pepperoni place and they totally ignored us. And it so happened that they were closing down and they were moving to another place.
So they wasn't ignoring us. There was so nice.
It was on a whole emotional.
Nah, I was vexed.
It so happened that was one of the best videos that we did.
At the time, I was really like, these nice people ignoring me. Why warm to them? But who them feel them is? You know, I was going for this tangent. I was really angry.
So really and truly, sometimes it's just not about you.
It's not about you.
It's true.
Life be life.
And the more you put yourself in that position where you give people like the benefit of the doubt and you say, well, I don't know what's happening with them.
Mm-hmm.
Then it makes you a lot more at peace.
Yeah.
And it gives people the space to come and then now tell you what they deal with. And the principle is that if I have an issue with you, I come in and say, what's the deal? People are embarrassed to do that. And then they'll get rejected if they do that. And sometimes you might.
Yeah.
But sometimes you might find out, you know, I really am a target write off and I was studying that and I'm getting the money to fix it. And, and you realize that you are at the bottom of the totem pole of massive issues.
Right.
Which is fair. People can do that.
But I didn't even know all of these, you know, that dialogue was going on between you and Randall. But my first interaction with you was at TIC. I must say you're a refreshing gentleman to interact with. Mm-hmm. Although it's just the second interaction, you know. Yeah. It seemed like a positive light on.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. And by the way, these guys here, this is Ayinde. Ayinde is my business partner.
Right.
He's the one that you wouldn't see, but he does a lot of the heavy lifting and work behind the scenes.
Right.
And keeps things in order. His wife, Marie, is in the company too.
Oh, nice.
She's more of our, like, administrative person. Right. She has been with us since the inception.
Oh, wow.
14 years.
Whoa, you look so old, man.
I was looking for some grace, you know.
He's one of the best editors in Trinidad and Tobago, may I say, in the Caribbean.
Oh, wow.
And he came from almost knowing nothing. Wow. I was better than him for about a year or so, year and a half, and then he got better than me.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. So he does all our corporate work.
Mm-hmm.
And we have other people who help us and so on. So.
Oh, nice, man.
So...
Yeah, I think when I started a production company, I think that was the vision I had. But I think over the years, we only hired like maybe two people.
Yeah, two or three persons.
Yeah, so the production company is just essentially both of us.
Yep. It happens. Yeah. And so, yeah, so this is a whole different conversation we get to.
Yeah, but
right? But anyway, let's do a wrap.
Oh yeah,
we
can have a further conversation.
Oh, they sell out yourself and you say you just treat it and edit and
I just want to say one thing. I just hope that we were able to bring value to your podcast. I hope that we were able to impart some kind of knowledge to help somebody, right? Because I mean, I didn't know where it was gonna go with this. You know, I know a lot of your stuff just be to help businesses and that kind of thing. But I had no idea where it was going with this. And it just felt like a normal conversation. I feel like we're just talking, we're just catching up. You know, it's kind of weird. Because when you ask me about that glasses thing, I get worried. My heart was hitting a little bit.
Yeah.
But the funny thing about podcasts is the bulk of the conversation happens when the camera stops.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The next thing.
Yeah.
I used to have this rule
that
I would, when the podcast is finished, I would just continue talking. And then I would take that content and call it after class. I would make a separate video.
Right.
Sometimes the after class video
is better.
Would be a really kind of revealing video.
Yeah, because it's more relaxed and then you get to build on the questions you asked before and that kind of thing. So it is really
nice. And I think when the camera and then two people just get a little stressed, just be like, oh God, thing how to, you know, perk up for the camera and that kind of thing.
I'm a little more animated off the camera, I'll tell you that.
Yeah. No, but Melina, if anything, when the camera come on, she'll just be automatic. I'm just saying this because
that's why they were trying to call me Randalina for a couple years because they thought I ran everything. It sounds like a female name, but it is a ship name, Randall and Melina.
Because at the time I wasn't very good on camera.
We carrying on the podcast.
Right, sorry.
This is fine.
Okay.
Well, this is useful. This is fine.
Well but no at the time it was very easy for me to shoot her.
Right.
And she have no kind of, I just always tell people, if I wasn't into, doing these videos, I think she would never be doing nothing like this.
Right.
Because she don't like the limelight. She don't like none of this.
I don't like attention. I'm very reserved and I wouldn't say humble because that wouldn't be humble to say humble. I am.
As an explanabrag.
Yeah. So she just as soon as I put on that camera, she just automatically was good on camera.
Right.
And I just had to catch up to her. To kind of be good on camera as well, you know.
Thank you for making it all the way to the end of this episode of Useful Creator. I really do appreciate you spending your time with me. If you enjoyed today's conversation, I'd love to connect with you on LinkedIn. You can find the link in the show notes. And while you're here, check out any of the other resources or links that we mentioned in this episode. And if you'd like to go deeper and find out more about how you can create useful content, you can subscribe to my newsletter at jumabannister.com. www.yousfulcreator.com, where I share more insights, strategies, and stories to help you become a more confident, consistent, skillful video creator.
The Useful Creator Podcast is a Relate production.